Luke chapter 5, we see this wonderful, miraculous story where Jesus has an encounter with some fishermen. I'll read the story beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Can I stop right there? Isn't that interesting? So these are fishermen, and they're washing the nets. They're not fishing right now, but they're washing the nets. What did I just talk about? Are you thinking? They're just as much fishermen while they're washing their nets as they were when they were fishing. We'll go to another place where the Bible says that Jesus found them mending their nets. They're just as much fishermen mending the nets as they are fishing. Okay, Brother Josh, Brother Don Davis, Brother Jack Gordon are farmers. Okay, we think that they're only farmers when we see them out in the field plowing or preparing or planting. But when they're in the garage working on the combine, which we're going to do in the off season, right? We're going to do that in the off season. They're just as much a farmer. Are you listening? Say, well, I want to get out and do. Well, listen, if we don't take the time to wash our nets and mend our nets, then we're not going to catch fish when we're out there anyway. And so that's what they're doing in verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down and the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that was with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Heavenly Father, may we learn, dear God, from the master fisherman. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I decided that we were going to look into, I was going to try to mark off something I wanted to do one time, two times now, since this matter of trying to go out west and go elk hunting. I've told the story how the Lord allowed me to come in contact with Pastor Dirksen in Butte, Montana. When I found out that Pastor Dirksen would be willing to take me elk hunting, and I found out that in 27 years he had killed 24 elk, when there's only a 20%, statistically, only 20% of the people that buy a tag get an elk, so that's one out of five. And so that means every 5 years, on average, a guy might get one elk. This guy's killed 24 in 27 years. You can imagine that I immediately said, that's the guy I want to go elk hunting with, okay? There's hunters and there's master hunters. There's fishermen, there's master fishermen. You want to go to someone who's extremely successful in what you want to accomplish to learn from them. Well, in this matter of winning people and reaching people, tell me where we could go that would be any better than the Lord Jesus Christ. The one thing that I can study and see in the 3-year ministry that the Gospels record is that he was constantly reaching people, touching people's lives. There were these miraculous divine appointments, transformation, people never the same. He had a way of seeing opportunities that the disciples didn't see and talking to people that they would have walked by. And a study in the life of Jesus Christ in this matter of winning souls, reaching not just the individual, but reaching the multitudes. We couldn't go to a better example. Here, Jesus has an opportunity to influence the life of some fishermen. And he ends up, by the end of this story, not only claiming their heart, but laying claim to their life. These four fishermen ended up becoming four of the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, like I said, I think that this correlation between, you know, didn't we just sing, I will make you fishers of men? Okay, this idea of fishing for fish and fishing for men, there's some parallel truths that we're going to study this morning. We're going to get ready to launch some efforts this year, as we do every year. But we're going to do some things that we've never done before in this matter of trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, in preparation for tonight, let's learn some lessons from the master fisherman. I hope it's in your heart. Preacher, I hope I'm better this year in 2018 at reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ than I've ever been in my life. I hope that's your goal. I hope that's your heartbeat. Maybe someone's here. I've never won a soul to Christ. Never have. I'd like this to be the year that I win my first soul to Christ. And God wants to use you and can use you and your family to spread the gospel and influence people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a couple of lessons that we're going to learn from this story. Number one, preacher, how do you become a better soul winner? How do you become a better fisher of men? Number one, you cannot catch fish if you're not fishing. You cannot catch fish if you're not fishing. When he comes upon these fishermen, they're doing, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, something that is necessary, that they were sitting on the bank, on the shore, and they're washing their nets. And they didn't happen to catch any fish the night before, but at least they were out fishing. Well, I will tell you the way I can guarantee for you not to win anybody to Christ this year, and that is don't go fishing. If you don't go fishing, you're not going to catch fish. If you don't go soul winning, you're not going to win somebody to Christ. If you aren't not soul conscious throughout the day, not when you're not going soul winning, if you're not soul conscious, if you're not willing to pull out that gospel track or ask somebody the question. Brother Reiser called me. He was so excited. And he said, he said 3 Sundays in a row, we've had the most amazing things. He said, we've had somebody saved in our church the last 3 Sundays in a row. And he said, but let me tell you how it's happened. He said, we got a family, and they've been coming. And there's a little girl that started coming with that family, and she's about Gracie's age. You know, Brother Reiser's daughter, Gracie. And she said, I got done preaching, and we've been praying for this girl, knew that she wasn't saved, one of the ones we've been praying for. So Gracie comes to her after the service and says to her, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you go to heaven? And she said, I don't, but I've been thinking a lot about it. And Gracie said, well, you need to come talk to my mom. And so she took her to her mom and sat down with her. And Miss Alyssa was able to win her to Christ. And then the next Sunday, this girl brought a friend with her and sat there in the service and heard it preached and didn't come forward. And after the service, Gracie went over to her and said, hey, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And her friend's like, yeah, I didn't know that last week. Now I know it. And she's like, I don't know that. Well, you need to come talk to my mom. And so she took over to her mom and she got saved. And then I think a third Sunday, I may have it out of order, but one of the Sundays, a third Sunday in a row, two more friends came, and guess who went after? Listen, I sat there and listened to that story, and I thought to myself, you know what? Would to God we all had the heart of that little girl. Amen. Come on, when's the last time that we just stopped somebody and asked them, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? I hope that girl never loses it. Amen. You know, sometimes children can teach us some lessons. And I thought to myself, mercy sakes, after I got off, and I felt convicted. I said, you know what, that little girl is looking around her church and figuring out, she knows who has been saved, she's figured out who hasn't been saved, and she wants to do something about it. And so, folks, listen, if you're not going fishing, you're not going to catch fish. The Bible said, Jesus commanded them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know what, if you're not out there with the nets in the water, there's a good chance you're not going to catch a fish. Number two, let me give you this lesson that we learned from the master fisherman. Excuses never caught a fish. Excuses never caught a fish. Now, Peter had a reason why he thought it would not be profitable to fish. You know, in verse number 5, the commandment was launch out into the deep, verse 4, and let down your nets for a draught. Simon Peter's answer in verse 5 was this, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now, thank God he doesn't finish there. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. But he started out by just kind of trying to rationalize with the Lord why this would be a waste of time. And you know, folks, listen, we can spend 2018 making excuses why we can't. Why, you know, children, well, you know, children will say, preacher, as soon as I become a teenager, I'll start being a soul winner. Well, could you just ask somebody if they are sure they'd go to heaven and take them to your mom? And teenagers say, oh, you know, I can't do it during my teenage years because then people wouldn't think I'm cool. So as soon as I become college age, then I'll be a soul winner. And then the college age, well, man, you know, I'm so busy with studies, you just have no idea. And as soon as we get through this time of life, and then young couples, well, you know, man, we're having children and we're trying to get established. But preacher, when we get all the kids in school, we'll be able to have more time. You can excuse your way through life. Till you're a senior citizen, say, you know what, I just wish I had the energy. I guess that's something for young people to do. And never be a soul winner. You know what? I remember evangelist Bob Kelly coming to our church way back in the 70s. And one of the sermons he preached from this pulpit was entitled, Excuses, Excuses, All I Hear Is Excuses. And the honest truth is, you can spend your life making excuses or you can spend your life making a difference. You can spend your life making excuses or you can spend your life making a difference. What did Peter do? Why did they end up with this great draught of fish? He set aside his excuse and just obeyed the master. Okay, master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. Well, what word has God given us? Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 6:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:46, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I think the command's been given, launch out into the deep, let down the nets for a draught. Well, I don't think it'll work because... You know what? Obedience says this. I don't feel, think about what obedience says. Obedience says this, I don't feel like it, but I will. I'm not even sure it will work, but I will go. I'm tired, but I'll fish anyway. I'm busy, but I will make the time. And so remember this, folks, you can't catch fish if you're not fishing, and excuses never caught a fish. Now, let me give you another thing that we learned from this. It says in verse number 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let down your nets for a draught. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their nets brake. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the greatest secrets to consistently finding the people that God has ready. I believe in divine appointments. And by the way, I'm all for systematically saturating your community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we're supposed to go to every house. We're to try to reach every creature. There's something about systematic soul winning, going to every door. I mean, just out there, knocking on those doors. But let me remind you of something. If you'll listen to Jesus, he knows where the fish are. If you'll listen to Jesus, he knows where the fish are. You know, I believe in divine appointments. I go back and have taught, I don't know how many times from this pulpit, the story of Philip, the evangelist. And he's in Samaria. And they're seeing a great work of God, and they're watching amazing things happen. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit interrupts that great revival meeting in Samaria and says, go out to a desert place, to a place I'll show you. And that's all he told him. He didn't tell him who, didn't tell him why. And you know what? He obeyed. He went out into this desert place and he saw this man sitting in a chariot and the Spirit said, go join yourself to that man. Now, folks, what's the chances of a man like Philip finding some guy that's parked in the middle of a desert in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet trying to figure out what it's all about? Listen, I believe this. I believe there's key moments, key times in almost everybody's life where all of a sudden something's happened that's caused them to be able to seek, to maybe listen where they wouldn't have listened before, Maybe be open to where when there wouldn't been open before. Any of you that have gone soul winning any amount of time, I'm going to tell you, you have these stories. If you're just faithful to go soul winning, you have these stories. You know, I think back of when I was over teen soul winning. I think I've told you this story, and I've told you most stories by now. Folks, this is my 12th year, 13th year of pastoring by now. You've heard about all the stories, okay? But when I was over teen soul winning, we were heading over to Farmersburg, and we were going to go start on at Farmersburg. And I've been praying over it all week long. Isn't that a good thing to do? Pray over it all week long and say, Lord, prepare the hearts, direct us. Now, again, I take the teens. We go to every community. We systematically, door by door. I did it for so many years with the teenagers. There's not a community. There's not a population group. There's not some little burg in this area that I can't go to. And, you know, kids rotate out every 6 years, you know, but those in leadership just keep doing it. And there's hardly a neighborhood I can drive through where I can remember saying, I knocked on those doors, I've knocked on that street, I've knocked on that area. But I was driving to Farmersburg and taking the teens over there. And we always, because I plan it, we always do Farmersburg a certain way, because that's just the way I do it. And we were going to start in this first section of Farmersburg, which would be the southeast corner. And I could not get peace about it. And the bus driver knew that's where we always started. So he started to turn in there. And I said, go on to Main Street. We're going to go do a different section. He said, we always do it this way. I said, I know. But we're going to go over here and do this other section. And I couldn't get that out of my heart. I just knew the Lord wanted us to start on a different section. He said, okay. Now, folks, it's so good to get to a point in your life where you just don't question those things. If the Lord's dealing with your heart about something or somebody that needs to be visited, that needs to be seen, you know what? Go see him. Go see him. Go to that section. Go to that door. Make that phone call. You ever had this, made this statement? You know what? I don't know why, but so-and-so's been on my heart just constantly lately. You know, I think that when God does that, he did it for a reason. Whether it's a saved person, whether it's a lost person, go see him. Pick up the phone. Say, you know what? I don't know why, but the Lord's had you on my heart a lot lately. And is there something going on? Is there something I can pray about? You'd be shocked how many times that person's like, wow, how did you know? And so we went to Farmersburg, and we went to a different area, and we let all the kids off, parked the bus. I jumped out and was with one of the teenage boys, and we took off down the street knocking doors. And pretty soon around the corner, here comes six teenagers around the corner, and we were able to stop them on the street right there. Two of them absolutely were not interested. Matter of fact, they laughed and made a joke out of it, and to the point where finally I just looked at them and said, you know, if you two, the other four seemed like they were interested. You know, if you two just aren't interested in this, no hard feelings. You don't have to stay and listen. And they said, we're not. And they took off down the road. The other four, I said, you want to go with your friends? No, we'll listen. And we were able to win all four of those teenagers to the Lord just standing right there on the street. Now, folks, listen to me. I believe in a Holy Spirit of God that lives in every single Christian. I believe that God orchestrates divine appointments. Listen, here's the sad part, and I guess this is what kind of haunts me. If the Holy Spirit of God can work in a lost person's life and get them to the point where they'd be willing to at least listen to somebody, and yet we as Christians won't allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts to get us to that person, well, there's some sad things going on there. When we start preaching on the subject of grieving the Holy Spirit of God and quenching the Holy Spirit of God in your life, that's not a light thing. You know, when's the last time that you've had the Holy Spirit prompt you to do something, speak to you to do something? You say, well, preacher, it's been a long time. Let me ask you this. Why? Has it got to the point where he doesn't bother because you wouldn't do it anyway? How many times has he done it in the past and you ignored it? Have you just grieved him to the point or quenched him to the point where you're missing opportunities? What am I saying? I'm saying we're getting ready to go into a year, 2018. There's not one Christian in this room that can't be used of God to make a difference in somebody's life, to win a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, to help find a family that could end up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to help find a teenager that maybe within 6 months of wrecking and ruining their lives. But you know what? You could be used of God to get them in church and save them from that. Just listen, we're talking about lessons. You know what? I don't know where the fish are. Peter, obviously, and Andrew and James and John fished all night long and didn't know where the fish were. But Jesus said, cast your boat right there and let down your nets. And they let down how many? Which brings us to our next point, right? How many did they let down? It says in verse number 5, it says in verse 4, let down your nets, plural, for a draught. Simon Peter answered, Master, we have told all night, have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. Now, here's another great secret that we can learn from the master fisherman is, you know what? The more nets you put out, the better chance you have. I went down to Florida one time, maybe twice, with Brother Don Mowry. And they used to go down and spend some time in Florida. I bet you're glad you didn't do that this year. You would have missed out on all of this. And this guy loved to fish. And so he put me in a boat, and we're going out fishing and down a river over to this lake. I had no idea where we were. I still don't know where we were. It did make me nervous that as we're going down the river, on either side, there are crocodiles, alligators. I don't know what they were. And I'm thinking to myself, what happens if the motor breaks down, the boat breaks down? What, you know? So we get out there to fish, and you know, Brother Don, he has not one pole in the boat, not two, one for me and him. He's got about 6-8 poles in the boat, and he loads one up on this side, throws it in. Loads one up on this side, throws it in. Loads one up on this side. He's got these little holders for all of them. Down both sides of the fish. Pretty soon I'm sitting in there and we're just kind of cruising along there and we're just waiting because there's 8-10 lines out there. And you know what? All we did was wait till one of them pull it in, rebait it. Hey, we were catching some fish. A lot more than if we'd have had just one pole apiece in the water. Brother Val, if you went out trapping, you said, I'm going to go trapping. I think I'll just set a trap. Okay, Lord, you want me to go trapping? I'll set a trap. And I'm going to go check that A trap every single time, you know. And that's why I don't just bring a gun. I bring, when I go deer hunting, I bring a gun, a bow, a bazooka, grenades, anything I can do. You know. But don't tell the conservation officer that. But you know, cast out, launch into the deep and cast out the nets. Let down your nets. You know what's exciting about being a part of a church that has multiple ministries? And listen, not everybody can work in all of the ministries. But you know what? We can let down a lot of different nets. I want to thank the Lord for these many years now that we've had teen soul winning. And we've had generations of young people raised up in the church. I mean, our young adults in their 20s and 30s. You know what? At one point, I was taking them out teen soul winning. I mean, it's as normal and natural from them from seventh grade on to be able to walk up to knock on a door and talk. Some of you that are older or didn't get raised in church, you know, a preacher, I have a tough time doing that because I did, you know, if you learn something as a young person growing up and it becomes a normal, natural thing, it's a lot easier than when you're an adult, you're trying to learn it later on. And adults, we have adults on. I thank God for our Sunday school. You know, what are these nets? What's children's church nets? What's our bus routes? Just 5 more nets out there. Our nursing home ministries, 5 more nets out there. What's Vacation Bible School? Well, we throw a bunch of nets out. What's the radio broadcast all about? And our technology and our website and our I always called our tape ministry. I don't think we use tapes anymore. What's the webpage about? What's the gospel tracts about? What's the missions givings about? What are the preaching services? What's youth revivals and church revivals and Operation Think of It? So what are some of the things you're going to introduce tonight? Folks, you know what they are? They're just nets. And you know what? It doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out. The more nets you have, better chance you have catching a fish. And so the more people that you can get involved to man some of the nets, you know, the better chance we've got to catch the fish. And so he said, let down your nets. And Peter said, I'll let down a net. And you know what he found out? They had more fish in that net, started breaking. And you know what? If he'd listened to the Lord, he'd have got it right. And that'd have caught a lot more fish. Let me give you 2 more things and we'll close. Catching fish should make you humble, not proud. catching fish should make you humble, not proud. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know, Peter didn't jump up and down the boat when that big bunch of fish came in the net and beat his chest and started screaming, "I'm the greatest fisherman in the world. Look at what I did." No, he just fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And then this man from Galilee shows up, tells him where to drop a net, and he catches more fish than maybe he's ever had in his life. And he realized, wow, me trying to do this by myself, I can't do anything. But man alive, if I just listen to this man, if I listen to the Messiah, the Christ, you know, it made him humble, not proud. If God blesses you and you have a good day on your bus route, I hope you understand who really did it. If you have some unusual things happening in your Sunday school class and some miracles, I hope you understand who really did it. Okay, we have a revival around here and a bunch of people get saved. It's not Jerry Ross, it's not Blissthope Baptist. Let's all remember who did it, okay? Because the more the Lord uses us, the more it ought to cause us to get on our knees and say, "Lord, we're sinful men. It's, none of this could be happening if it was just up to us." So catching fish should make you humble, not proud. Here's a sad thing that happens a lot of times. Somebody understands they can't do it without the Lord. So they go to the Lord and ask him to help them. The Lord begins to bless and they give them the ability to, and they start experiencing some success. And next thing you know, that success goes to their head and they get proud and start laying claim to glory that doesn't belong to them. And then God takes them right back over here and puts them where they started, where they can't do anything without him. And it's almost like sometimes we have to learn that cycle several times before we realize, man, if I'm in the place of blessing, what I better do is stay humble. What I better do is make sure that God gets the glory. Because the best way to keep this thing happening is to keep pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ and crediting God for all the good things. Now, one last thing will be done. After he gets done with this. What a story. Isn't this a neat story? Then it says in verse number 9, "For he was astonished, all that was with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and son of, and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And you know what? Here's the last thing that we need to make sure we keep our hearts open to, and we need to, as you raise your children, make sure they keep an open heart to this. Jesus might want some folks in our church to fish full time. You know, one of the blessings of what we're going to do in the last week of April, first part of May, and bringing back our young people that are out in full-time Christian service is to rejoice in the fact that God reaches down amongst the church from time to time and says, you know what, you've been doing this in the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I want to call you into full-time ministry. I want you to do this with all of your life. You know, that's an exciting thing. I want to create an environment here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And folks, I can't do it without the homes creating that same environment in their homes, where the young people are encouraged to stay tender to the idea that God may call some into full-time Christian service. And we've seen God do that so many times. I'm sure glad that Brother Reiser, I miss him. I'll tell you, I miss him around here. He was, I feel like, I tell people this, but it's like when Brother Reiser, when we sent him off, it's like cutting off my right arm. I mean, me and him worked so well together. I mean, that kid started out in my youth group when he was a knucklehead seventh grader, okay, and was in the whole youth group all the way up to when he was a knucklehead senior. And but you know what? Went off to Bible college, came back, hired him, worked together. I mean, I gave him a job. I didn't have to explain the way I wanted it done. He knew how I wanted it done. But you know what? I want to tell you this. I wouldn't bring him back here for anything else in the world. It's so exciting that he's down doing what God is having him to do. And I want to always keep our young people tender to the idea that, you know what, there's going to be a certain percentage of the people, and I'm glad, that grow up in this ministry and they graduate and they just, God just tells them, you're exactly where you need to be. You stay there at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You work in the ministries. You be the next generation of Sunday school teachers and bus workers. And that's great. That's great. But occasionally God's going to reach down and say, hey, I want you to do something different with your life. I want to take you to a foreign mission field. Listen, I think one of the things that keeps me engaged in speaking out to teenagers is, you know what? I want to see young people surrender to the gospel ministry. I'm not talking to anybody in anything. Don't try it. Matter of fact, I've often said this. If a young man comes to try to surrender to preach, I'll probably try to talk him out of it before I try to talk him into it. Because if I can talk him out of it, it's not real. But I snuck up just 2-3 Friday nights ago, and cold night, drove all the way to Indianapolis, Brother Tid's church up there. And they had a big youth rally up there, and I spoke at the youth rally up there. And after the service, was talking to some of the teens and catching up with some of the youth pastors that I knew. And there was a guy waiting. You know, you can catch him in peripheral vision. He's not being wanting to be rude. He's just waiting to talk to me. So I finally closed down and said, turned around and said, remind me who you are. I've seen you before. And he said, Brother Ross, you don't really know me, but I need to say some things to you. And I said, okay. And he said, 6 years ago, I was a teenager. And I came to this rally 6 years ago, and I was lost. And you preached the gospel, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, 5 years ago, I came to this rally, and you preached a message. I don't remember what I preached, but he said basically it was a message telling the young men, time to roll your sleeves up, get serious about this thing. Is God calling you to preach? If he is, stop hiding. And he said, that night I surrendered to the gospel ministry. And then he pointed back to 2 or 3 rows of teenagers, and he said, I'm over in Pendleton, Indiana, Solid Rock Baptist Church, and that's my youth group, and I brought them here to hear you tonight. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? There's not a price. There's not enough money in the world that you could offer me that's worth more to me than that. And you know what? I don't want that just happening outside of our church. Some of that ought to be happening inside our church. And again, you know what? Those things are in the hands of God. It's not God's will for everybody to go in the ministry. But I do think it is God's will for every young person to be open to going into the ministry and willing if God were to call them. So some lessons, and we need to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, and your grace. And we ask, Lord, that you'll just help us as we are preparing ourselves for the evening service tonight to sit at the feet of Jesus for a few minutes this morning in Sunday school and just learn some things about reaching men. Help us all to be fishers of men, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.